the keys. Aside from the fact that you said you had them?
But I didn't.
Well, you should have.
Why?
Because.
Why?
Because. Why? Because everything is my responsibility. Isn't it enough that I'm making Thanksgiving dinner for everyone? You know, everyone wants a different kind of potato. So I'm making different kinds of potatoes. I mean, does anybody care what kind of potatoes I want? No! 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 You know, just as long as Phoebe gets her peas and onions and Mario gets his tots and...
Hey, Monica, only dogs can hear you now. So. Look, the door's open. Here we go.
Oh, God. Oh. Well, turkey's burnt. Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined.
Welcome to the One of Our Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. This week we are here to review the episode titled The One Where Underdog Gets Away. I'm Dando.
I am Nicola.
Very exciting times here in the Dando household, the One of Our Friends household. Our dear Nicola right here has been promoted at work.
I have, that's right.
She's a boss lady now.
It wasn't just a free promotion, guys. I had to work bloody hard for it.
Yeah, it was cool though. It was just...
Full-on application process and presentations of PowerPoint to, you know, the board and CEO and...
Very professional. Very, I was very proud of you. Well done, sweetheart.
Thank you.
I kept saying, I knew you got it, And then Nicola thought she didn't get it. And I was like, how's this possible? Like, it's ridiculous. I was just outraged.
Didn't know anything about my competition, but still outraged.
Yeah, I was furious. And then Nicola's like, oh, I've got the job. And I was like, oh, cool. Oh,
it just took them several days. And I was like, I'm convinced they're probably talking with the other people or person, you know, and they'll let me know that it's a no once they've finalized everything. So I was convinced it was a no. And then I got the call late Tuesday and away you go.
It's all happening. Yes, it's very exciting times. A round of applause for Nicola, everybody.
Well, and round of applause for Brendan, the new stay-at-home daddy-o. Yeah. Well, not really. Well, sort of. Yeah, sort of.
So this is the thing, guys. You may or may not be aware. I may have said it on this podcast. I'm not too sure, but I quit my job 3 months ago to focus here on podcasting. So I'm now a stay-at-home dad watching the kiddies as much as I can whilst Nicola gets back into the workforce. 3 months later, she's running the place. What a legend.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes, but we're here to discuss the episode, The One Where Underdog Gets Away. Another great episode for creating a bond with the characters.
Yeah, 100%. You could definitely see their friendships, well, grow and then fall apart and then be fixed, yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's another one where you sort of, I know the focus at the moment seems to be how good is this unit? How good are they for each other? This one was the main focus, like at the end. We might not have all the other people in our lives, but at least we've got each other. Mm. And I did have my notes. We're going for the sappy moment again. You know, last week where I was like, that's a good-looking gang.
Yeah.
And then we all looking gush at each other. But, you know, this
little
one-
bit cheesy sitcom, but
this
yeah.
one seemed less corny. I thought it was more natural. But, I thought it was a really fun episode. I didn't realize the Joey with the sign story was so early in the run. This seems to be an episode, because I didn't think I'd seen many of the earlier episodes. I feel like I've seen this one at least 10 times. It's funny, I may have already discussed this as well, but you watch Friends just on loop, constantly, just constant loop Friends, right? I feel like there's like 5 or 10 episodes that I've seen so many more times than others.
Yeah.
This one, the one with Freddie Prinze Jr. as the nanny, that one seems to pop up all the time as well. The one where Ross gets caught at the holiday house of Bruce Willis's daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one seems to pop up all the time as well. But this one here, I feel like I've seen this many a time.
And maybe just it's a Thanksgiving episode. So, like, it's on various, you know, channels.
A holiday episode. But we don't celebrate Thanksgiving here.
No,
but
it might be
on.
You know, I don't know. Maybe have been on over the years when we actually watched, you know, television when someone else decided what we watched.
Yes.
We followed their running.
Yeah,
now we're like, no thanks.
Yeah. As I was saying, I just think there's a really good episode to sort of accentuate the bond that these characters all have with each other. And it was also a really good episode in the sense that everyone can relate to a family squabble, especially on the big day, right? On Christmas Day, it wouldn't be Christmas Day without a squabble of some kind, whether it be you and your sister or my sister and everybody.
but
there's always a squabble of some kind, you know, and I don't know why it is. Like, we love our family to death, but we just seem to find the slightest thing to squabble about. But at the end of the day, you all go, at least we've got each other.
I know. Well, in this case, there are obviously two family members, but I suppose they're trying to say, you know, people have family, but, you know, friends are the family you choose.
Mm. What this episode also did good was that it showed that they all actually still have their own lives. But most importantly, though, they have each other, which I think is, I wouldn't say that they need their friends more than their family, but at this point in their lives, this group of friends, this six, they're the most important people in their lives. Because, like, the parents, they've gone somewhere else for Thanksgiving. It's like they've...
100%. It's like the empty nesters. They've gone off and...
It's like they've moved on. It's just like their family got their own lives now. And it's like, we're not... Okay, so we've sort of...
Kind of their time to forge what, you know, their own traditions.
Their own family.
Yeah. Family or friends.
Yes, exactly. Also, the other side story we have for this one with Ross just talking to the baby.
Yeah.
Was this not a thing in the early 90s? Like, Ross pointing out how ridiculous he thought it was. It just seems that now everyone talks about it. Everyone does this now. You put music on and things like that because everyone knows the baby can hear things.
Yeah, but maybe it just wasn't so widely said about in terms of, you know, apparently playing, was it playing Mozart or something makes your baby a genius? I don't know.
Well, that's a bit silly.
Well, then that's the same as him talking to the
He was just saying he didn't believe the babies could hear at all.
Well, he just felt silly. I don't think he didn't believe they could hear. He's like, there's one acoustic advantage.
Yeah.
So he thinks they can hear, but it's just they can't understand what he's saying. But, you know, yeah.
You know, this was Jane Sibbett's first appearance as Carol in the show.
No.
Yeah. She hadn't appeared before this episode. Think about it. All the episodes we've reviewed. Yeah, she's only appeared in maybe the second one
when she came to see me. Carol. Sorry. I thought you were talking about Susan. But is it Susan's first appearance too?
No, Susan's appeared in the show before, and she's the same actress throughout the entire series.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but I see. Carol. But Carol, yes, yeah, no, the very actress, first episode, it was whatever episode there was when she found out she was pregnant.
Yeah. But she was moved on. I think she just didn't fit with the show. We discussed it in the podcast. Yeah, I can't quite remember. But yes.
I know. Well, we probably did that episode about 18 months ago.
It's been a long time. But this was Jane's first appearance, and she would play Carol for the show's run. Yes. It just felt right. I think. Yeah. But it was just nice seeing them finally bond.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be a fan of them continuing on the whole using lesbianism as like a gag in the sense that I don't like her because she's a lesbian.
No, it wasn't that she didn't like her because she was a lesbian. He's madly still in love with Carol, for God's sake.
I know that, but the lesbianism is the punchline whenever he's discussing his wife and her partner.
He would be jealous if it was a guy too. It's his jealousy. He's the pathetic one with the jealousy. It doesn't matter. I don't think the lesbianism is the issue here.
It's the writers I'm talking about. I'm glad that they're able to sort of, now they're bonding. So now he might make a lesbian joke, but it's not going to be, oh, there's lesbians.
I don't think it has been.
And her lesbian life partner, as he puts in this episode.
I know.
Couldn't just be life partner?
True. But
you're the one that's always saying, do you have to put the descriptive word in front of it?
Well, it depends what descriptive word you're using, darling.
But yeah, I just liked that they finally bonded. And I know we're only, 6 or 7 episodes in, whatever it is, maybe even 8. But it was nice to see them finally bonded, not be bickering all the time. Because I don't want to have to, it wouldn't be good for the kid if they're bickering all the time. And it's a very sitcom cliche to have the ex and the current, and like Ross bickering.
I think it might be
time.
A real life cliche also.
That is true in many situations.
I'm sure there's a shit ton of people out there that do not like their exes and or their new partners, so.
Now, would you like to know a few facts about the episode before we get into our favourite moments?
Well, we're not going
to
do trivia because,
trivia comes after favourite moments.
Well, I understand, but maybe you're going to tell me a fact that I know already.
Okay, well, we'll find
out. I don't know. Sure thing. Go for it.
So this is only one of 2 episodes where the words get away or gets away gets used. So it's this one, so the one where Underdog gets away, and the other one is where the monkey gets away.
Oh.
Which is later in this season, apparently.
I wouldn't say it's there's only 2 episodes where you use the words get away.
In the title.
No, I know, but I'm just saying I would be more like, oh, they have 2 episodes named very similarly.
Well, it's the only 2 episodes that have gets away. It's usually
I understand.
The
but
one
it's,
with, yeah. And this is the one where. Anyway.
No, it's interesting. I mean, I get it. I see what you're saying. I just thought. I'm bickering now. I'm just saying.
Picking Nicola.
True, but I'm just saying.
She gets promoted to manager. She thinks she runs the joint
now.
Telling me off. Bossing me around.
I'm just
make sure. She sent me a text today, people, at 4 o'clock, saying make sure dinner's ready when I get home.
I didn't. You lie.
4:44. What's for dinner?
You lie. I said, what are you cooking for dinner? Because you told me previously you were cooking dinner.
And I cooked delicious dinner tonight,
it was
wasn't
delicious. It was delicious. Yeah. It was pasta bake.
So another fact, Lara Harris, who plays the obsession girl in the episode, she was previously the face of various perfumes, including Geo, Ultima 2, and Oil of Alay. And she is also now a psychotherapist.
Oh, we're just going to full stop after psycho. Yeah. She is now a psycho.
She is now a psycho professionally. This is the first of 2 appearances of Max Wright as Terry, who we see in the cold open of this episode. Yes. Yeah, the owner of the coffee house. His final appearance is in the one with the baby on the bus from season 2.
This is, yes, I know that episode,
But he's also mentioned in the one where Rachel quits in season 3.
Yeah.
No, I haven't ruined your trivia yet, have I?
Nope.
Looking down, yet. This is the first appearance of Jane, to, as I said, as Carol in the series. She replaces Anita Barone. That's the one. Mm. For some reason, whenever
we
I think
we had
of,
talked about this, I'm yeah, recalling
whenever I think of that actress, I think of everyone Ray loves Barone, Raymond. Yes, yeah. Who played her in the one with a sonogram at the end, which is the second episode. Mm. The song that plays when Joey's posters are seen is Don't Stand So Close to Me, obviously, but by the Police. The B-side of the single in the UK was a song called Friends.
Was it?
Yeah. So when they released that as a single on LP, B-side was a song called Friends.
Oh.
And the lead singer of the Police is Sting, whose wife Trudy Styler appears later in the series. Yeah. And the drummer of the Police is Stuart Copeland, whose uncle Hunter Copeland is married to Courtney Cox's mother.
Oh, all God, these links. Oh, my Jesus.
But this is the thing, right? I feel like that's why they were able to, they probably got a good deal on the rights to be able to use that song with all the different connections, you know what I mean? Because it's pretty early in the show's run to be able to get a song of that magnitude. And this story with the balloon, I've discussed this with you off the air, was actually mentioned in the East German Laundry Detergent episode.
Yes, you did, yeah.
Because this was recorded first but aired after, which I didn't pick up on that. We may have discussed it in the episode when we recorded it, but I'm not too sure. I can't quite remember. But they are some facts that I found at the episode.
Thanks, babe.
Yes. All right. Now we can get into our favourite moments. So what were your favourites, Nicola? What were the standout moments for you?
Oh, I thought it was quite funny when Susan said that they had to take a course to be a lesbian.
Oh, I thought as well. Her sass, yeah.
But I also found it very strange when she was like, what does a skull look like? And he's like, it's a big face without skin. And she's like, I'm familiar. So why the fuck did you ask what a skull looks like then?
And I noticed in that scene, the actress who plays Susan, her name escapes me, sorry, but she was yelling in that scene. Did you notice? Ross was just sort of walking around talking to you as she does. And she's like, we have to take a course. Like, she's she was just like yelling
it. It was a funny voice, wasn't it? I thought the same thing. She's sort of just putting it on a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, it was a bit much. But yeah, when she asks, what's the skull look? I'm like, it's a skull.
I mean, yeah, it's like,
he had every right to give you a stupid answer.
I know, I'm familiar. Like, well, don't fucking ask then, you idiot. Anyway,
that's in the deleted scenes on the DVD, Ross saying that back to her.
What, don't fucking ask, you idiot. Then that led on to Phoebe saying, Ross, I have an experiment for you. Let me put your head up this turkey and then we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
I liked Phoebe taunting Chandler with the pumpkin.
Yes.
Pumpkin pie, yeah. Is it to say, just get over it, mate. Yeah. Like, move on. You know, I know it was a traumatic experience, but you're an adult now. You can get over it. What about you? What else did you like? I mean, while you look for that, I just personally liked the VD poster reveal. I just thought it was quite funny. Yeah.
Do you know what VD stands for?
Very... No, what is it?
Very dicky. No. Yeah. It stands for venereal disease, which is the old term used for STIs.
Oh, okay.
Sexually transmitted. So it's not actually a disease in itself.
So VD it is, just covers the entire base.
I believe so. Yeah, that's what Google tells me. And I believe what Google tells me.
But that's weird that he didn't say, my family think I have a VD. He says, my family think I have VD.
That's very true.
You wouldn't say, my family think I have STI.
No, that's very true.
We need to double check this.
Okay.
By the way, we did get some listeners write in. Zach Pruitt wrote into us saying that you were right last week on the last episode. Ross does say what were you saying?
Mm. You don't get it.
You don't get it, and you were correct.
Yeah, I
have
no doubt. I mean, you know, I am.
But you're sitting there all cocky with your arms.
I'm really tired, so I'm actually trying to stay awake.
Let's stop. Actually, it's another exciting time in the Dano household. We had a couple of shits night recently with Holly, but she slept. Was it three nights in a row?
No, three out of four. So like a two, and then a shit night, and then a one good night, and then forevermore, it's been a shit show since. But anyway, it's fine.
That's a big deal. We hadn't for 2 years. She never
I
slept
felt
through.
Great last week. This week I'm back to normal.
Yeah.
Five correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
All right, trivia, Nicola. Before we read out our trivia questions, the first thing we have to read out here on the show is the names of our beloved patrons who we love oh so dearly, who support the show and help us grow this podcast empire. The first names we read out are our $20 patrons. If you're a $20 patron, you get your name read out on every single episode of the show and every other show we do here in the Four Finger Discount Network, which includes our South Park podcast, Going Down to South Park. We've got Talking Seinfeld, Four Finger Discount, our Simpsons podcast, The Movie Guys, and more. So our names we're going to read out today are Andrew Zer, Steamed Hand Champion Dylan Haggett, Pete Anderson, Jordan Moleman Richie, Christopher Darby, Plain Old Matt, Andrew Davis, Ryan Dunlap, Jared Howard, Hank Scorpio, Kevin Dental Plan Flood, Jonathan Rossi, Zach Pruitt, Timothy Burleson, Joel Yoland, Katie G, Daniel Kotnick, Shannon Hofer, Reese Roberts, George McMenemy, Stephen Roberts, Sean Devey, Bella Winderbank, Tom Pickering, Mark Boston Burgess, Groundskeeper Noah, Declan Phoenix, Jack McFadden, Heath Appleby, Preston Murray, and Adric McLeod. Thank you so much, guys, for being $20 patrons of us here at Four Finger Discount and supporting the show. Also, the newest members of the Four Finger Discount family on Patreon this week, we've got Chris Livingston, Rachel McLean, Cameron Shields, Paul, Daniel Merson, Kieran Love, Scott Ludwig, Stuart Christie, Gavin Lang, George Holt, Emily Marie, Little Sofs, and Jacqueline Banks. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting the show. And our man, Elliot J. O'Neill from the Simpsons Index podcast, who my co-host Guy and myself appeared on a couple of weeks ago, is this month's $100 patron.
Ooh.
So thank you, Elliot J. O'Neill. So yes, guys, don't forget, if you do enjoy this show and you want to support us for as little as $1 we do, you can do so on at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. All right, Nicola, hit me with your first trivia question, please.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How much was the cup that Rachel broke?
Oh, that's my first question. $4. Shit.
No, it wasn't $4.
Oh, shit, no. How much does Rachel get charged for breaking the cup is my first question. Damn it.
Yeah, so exactly. So how much was it? Because it wasn't $4.
It would have been $1.50.
Do you want to try again? Were you even watching it?
What was your question again? Say it again.
Well, it's the same question. How much did she get charged for breaking a cup?
$4.
No.
Went from $98.50 to $1.250.
No, $102.
$102. Yeah, sorry.
No, so $3.50. $102.
I was not $102.50.
It was not. It was $102 flat. Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
Do you want to go back and check your facts?
Are you sure?
A fucking oath.
Okay, then.
Are you ready? You're right. Let's put it out to the listeners, guys, and see who's right about this one.
Yeah, it's $3.50. I wrote $4. I thought it was $102.50.
No, only $102 to go.
I'm going
to
check this. I'm pretty sure I'm
she
right.
She said only $102 to go.
I don't believe you.
Oh, only gosh, live fact checking.
$102 to go.
I'm so bloody confident. I'd friends. Bet my left ball on it.
Your left breast? All right.
No, I wouldn't bet that.
Only $102 to go.
See, am I right or what?
This isn't, I don't like doing this show anymore.
Okay, cool. So, Nicola won.
Yep.
Brendan, would you like to ask me a question? I don't know the answer.
How much does Rachel get checked? What did Phoebe's mum put in her potatoes?
Oh, peas and onions.
Mm-hmm, well done.
Which guy did Phoebe think was cute?
Put it in context. Which
the
part?
Poster. Monica's, are you going to be one of those healthy, healthy, healthy guys? And Joe is like, yeah, I hope so. And Phoebe goes, oh, the
nah,
got somebody
me.
Guy is cute.
Who is it?
The asthma guy.
The asthma
it's
guy.
It's asthma. Asthma. If you
know. Oh, so it's asthma. Okay.
Yeah. Did you not get the translate asthma? Did you not know it?
No. When the subtitle says A-Z-M-A, I'm just like, what is asthma?
No, it doesn't say that. It's spelled it correctly.
What
they say it weird.
Was Joey's job at Macy's?
Aramis. Yep. Aramis. Aramis.
Correct.
I'm bloody good at this shit.
Yeah.
Finally. Oh, do I have one more?
Yeah, give me. Whatever.
Okay, where did Underdog start and where did it go next?
I don't know. I'm going to say.
Where did it get loose?
23rd Street.
Front of Macy's.
Okay.
Into?
Back of Macy's.
Or Washington Square Park.
Washington Square Park. All right.
Okay, I've got another one.
Go for
so,
it.
So, okay. I just wrote several in case we crossed over, which funnily enough, we did. When Chandler was younger, two questions. How old was he and what did he have a mouthful of when his parents?
Pumpkin pie.
Okay, very good. You did reference that.
I want to say either 6 or 8. Is that one of those two?
A little bit older.
Oh, was it 10?
Nine. Yeah. Was that 11?
Scratch that. 9.
Yeah, very good. It was indeed when Chandler was 9.
I got half a point for that one. You got any more for me before we get into it?
Nah.
Nah?
Okay. No, I'm just checking, but no, the rest of them are just little. Oh, actually.
All right.
Do you know where the, tonight on a very special Blossom, do you know where that comes from? Did you look it up?
Do I know where the Blossom comes from?
Yeah.
TV show.
Oh, good. Well, I didn't know that, so you win. Carry on. We'll address that when we get to it.
Blossom was still on TV, I'm pretty sure, when this aired.
I literally don't have a clue. I've never seen it in my life.
It was like late 80s,
I had
early
to
90s.
Google it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that is trivia for the one where Underdog gets away. No, one of two titles that has the words gets away in it.
Yeah, I mean legendary.
we'll be right back after this break, guys, with our in-depth review.
I love it when I beat you.
If you're a fan of everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where not only will you get early ad-free access to the show, but you also get access to hours of bonus podcasts, access to our exclusive Facebook community, and so much more. So join The One About Friends family today at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Link is in the description of this podcast. The original air date of the one where Underdog gets away, one of only two titles where the terms gets away is used, it was November 17th, 1994. It was written by Jeff Greenstein and Jeff Strauss and directed by James Burrows. We get a cold open for this one of Rachel asking Terry, one of only two appearances of Terry in the series.
You're rehashing some shit here, babe. Yeah. Just move
on. For a $100 advance to go see her family for Thanksgiving. And he's just, I'm thinking, mate, it's $100. Just do it.
But what's $100? A week's worth of wages at this point?
It's not like, costing you anything. It's just an advance. Like, you just get it. No, anyway, but horrible boss, but apparently she's a terrible waitress, so he won't do it. She says, I think
he said it with love. You are darling, Rachel, darling. In case you weren't aware, didn't give it you are a terrible waitress.
I had in my notes, though, I was just like, hang on a minute. Her friends aren't going to lend her $100. Yeah. I was like, okay, but at least they paid that off. But she thinks she's doing better than ask if anybody needs coffee, and everyone does. So she's not doing her job very well. Get the intro. The episode begins with her asking for advance on tips, and the guy just walks out. He's just not doing that before. Sorry about the spill before. So she says now she still needs $98.50.
Rose, did you know that Mom and Dad are going to Puerto Rico for Thanksgiving?
Oh. No, they're not.
Yes, they are. The Blymans invited them.
You're wrong.
I am not wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I just talked to them.
I'm calling Mom.
Hey. And this from the Cry for Help department. Are you wearing makeup?
Yes, I am. As of today, I am officially Joey Tribbiani, actor/model. Thank you.
That's so funny because I was thinking you look more like Joey Tribbiani, man/woman.
What were you modeling for?
Well, you know those posters for the City Free Clinic?
Oh, wow. So you're going to be one of those healthy, healthy, healthy guys?
Oh, you know, the asthma guy's really cute. Oh,
Do you know which one you're going to be?
No. But I hear Lyme disease is open, so, you know.
Good luck, man. I hope you get it.
Thanks.
Ross then says, you were right. And Monica offers, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I'll cook. It's potatoes, right? Yeah, I'll cook potatoes just like Mum's. You mean mashed potatoes with lumps? How do you prefer your mashed potatoes? Do you like the little lumps in it? When you think of your Mum's potatoes, what is it?
Well, it's funny because I actually wrote down here too. Like, so we don't really have a strategy around lumps per se, but we use a potato masher, and it's butter and salt. And
that's what Mum does. Yeah,
exactly. Your Mum adds milk too, and then she whips it around with a spoon. So it's pretty whippy, your Mum's potatoes. Very good potatoes, Brendan's Mum's, have to say. Love the mash. But potatoes in England and Australia are different. But anyway, that's a whole other podcast. but my Mum, mash it with a potato, spud masher, butter, salt. But it doesn't matter if it has lumps in it. But what is interesting, I've never seen anybody use an electric whisk on potatoes.
I never have either, actually.
Might have just blown my mind. I mean, I know I've seen it in this episode before, but actually I think I might need to apply it to my life. Like getting some butter and salt and whatever in there and just whipping it. How good would that be?
It's just, yeah,
because that's sort of what your Mum does. So she mashes it and then she whips it around with a spoon with a bit of milk to make it sort of that lovely creamy texture.
I have all these memories of Mum just as a kid when she's getting the veggies, just going, just like going to town.
With 100%. Like, yeah, and it really smooths it out. Yeah, like I have to, it's really deliciously creamy, good stuff.
Mm.
Your Mum does a few things very well, I have to say. Shout out to Brennan's Mum. Right. She does beef and gravy.
That's the best beef ever.
Heck yeah. My God. I could eat. Yeah. So good.
Scallop potato's pretty good.
Yeah. Scallop potato's very good, but probably second to the mash for me, but it depends. I'm not used to scallop potatoes. Like, I didn't grow up with them, but love them. And spaghetti carbonara. I mean, sorry, wrong one. Spag bol is what I'm trying to say.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Scratch that. Cut that out. That was wrong. Spag bol. It's so good. I don't know what she does, but it's made with so much love and it's delicious.
Then we get Joey announcing. I'm like, if I don't stop Nicole from talking about food, Brendan, she'll never stop.
Brendan doesn't want to agree that his Mum's a good cook.
No, I did agree, but I'm just like, you said to me at the start, let's get this done by 10.
I know, look, it's
get
not.
Get you talking about food.
Oh. Yeah, you can't stop me. I just had the biggest hot chocolate, by the way, with 4 marshmallows and whipped cream on top. How good was that? It was in a huge mug.
Was in your friend's mug.
It was
wasn't
in
it?
One of my friend's mugs, obviously.
I saw a friend's mug today at the shop and I was like, she
has 97.
Yeah,
Does she need another one? Yes, is the answer.
So Joey announces that he's going home for Thanksgiving. Chandler's going to be boycotting all pilgrim holidays, every single one of them, as a result of what happened when he was a kid. Phoebe's going to be with her grandmother and their boyfriend. They're celebrating in December, though, because he's Luna. So I guess I can come to Monica's house. And Rachel says that she now needs $102. I've got $102.50 here because she broke a cup. And Ross says he's going to see Carol. What was he like to pick up the skull? What were they borrowing it for? I can't even remember.
Her school class. Her school Carol class. Had a school. Yes. Carol had a school. What did I just say? I don't even know.
But this was the first mention of her career, apparently, as well. Cool. Yeah. And Phoebe suggests inviting her to the party.
Miss her.
Yeah. She wants to bring her lesbian life partner. So we're now at Carol's door, Carol and Susan's. She's been at a faculty meeting. That's where she was. And he says he's going to pick up the skull. And they're, like you were saying, what does it look like? I was like, Who would ever ask that ever?
I mean, I think it would be pretty obvious if you happened to see it on the coffee table. I think it would stand out and like a skull.
Did you find it? Oh, well, she's like, well, just go look for it. And so I'm like, so just wandering around their apartment while she's just carrying on with her business. She's just going through things, pointing.
Well, no, I think she was looking too, but it's just she was looking. Oh, yeah, okay. That's why she was like under the TV and rustling through stuff. But it's, yeah.
Oh, you know.
Hi. Is Carol here?
No, she's at a faculty meeting.
Oh, well, I just came by to pick up my skull. Well, not mine, but...
Come in.
Thanks. Yeah, Carol borrowed it for a class, and I have to get it back to the museum.
What's it look like?
Kind of like a big face without skin.
Yes, I'm familiar with the concept. We can just look for it.
Okay. Wow, you guys sure have a lot of books about being a lesbian.
Well, you know, you have to take a course. Otherwise, they don't let you do it.
Hey, Yertle the Turtle. A classic.
Actually, I'm reading it to the baby.
The baby that hasn't been born yet? Wouldn't that mean you're crazy?
What, you don't think they can hear sounds in there?
You're not serious. I mean, you really talk to it?
Yeah, all the time. I want the baby to know my voice.
Do you talk about me?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
But we just refer to you as Bobo the Sperm Guy.
I can't say that I've ever read Yertle the Turtle. Have you ever read Yertle?
No, heard of it, but never read it. I wasn't sure if you would have read it, actually.
I feel like I've heard of it as well. But
yeah, I feel like I saw something, like maybe a toy or the book. I don't know.
Mm. But she says
that was not a helpful comment. I'm going to learn to just, you know. Quality over quantity, guys. Cut this all out.
She says she's been reading to the baby and Ross just thinks she's absolutely crazy. Now, I've got here in brackets, why is Susan yelling at him? But anyway, she says that she refers to Ross as Bobo the Sperm Guy.
Yeah,
I've got here,
that was just to tease
yeah,
him.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, wait a minute. And then eventually realize,
okay. It was so sarcastic. Like, yeah. And then he's just, take that to your flowers.
Yes. Ross wants to, he's back at the, I believe he's at Central Perk at this point, maybe in the apartment. But he wants to talk to the baby too. Ross, you know, Phoebe believes it. She's like, of course he can. She says, but he says, how could they possibly hear? She goes,
that was in the apartment.
The turkey. Yeah. So shove your head inside this turkey and we'll prove the theory. Chandler's totally behind this experiment. He wants to see it go down.
I would be behind it too, as long as it wasn't my head in the turkey.
So it was, when Monica puts her head in the turkey, was that inside a real, meant to be a real turkey? That's fucking weird, right?
It is. That's a whole throwback thing, isn't it?
I know it's a rubber turkey on the show, but she's actually shoving her head up a turkey.
I think legit. It's supposed to be real, yeah.
No one points out how weird that is.
Yeah, and smelly and gross. Yeah, none of it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you've taken out all the, is it giblets or whatever?
Your head's inside the fucking turkey.
I get it, mate. I'm not doing it.
It's one of the most iconic moments ever, but when you think about it, it's pretty creepy. It's weird.
I even have the slippers.
Yeah, you do have the slippers, yeah. I think we've got a Christmas ornament for it as well. Then Rachel arrives. She's all excited to go on her trip. She hasn't got her money yet, as she knows. Mm. She says she can't because she didn't take the money. Monica then gives her the mail. She's not going to take it. She's like, read the mail. And it turns out, I'm like, oh, nice. Nice they're finally actually giving you the $100. I'm like, $100 is nothing. Like, how is she not able to get $100?
Yeah, but what was it back then? I mean, you know, maybe she was on like $4 an hour.
Maybe?
Do you know what I mean? Like,
not much, though.
I think in America, the wages were pretty. Do you remember on Judge Judy? They're like, I mean, like, you know. $4.50 an hour or something. That's like honestly what wages were in the 90s and stuff.
Okay. They've got Chandler's traditional holiday feast, which is what? See if you can remember this.
Oh, yes, it is. Tomato soup,
mm-hmm.
Cheese. Oh, what do they call it? They call it cheese fixins
grilled
or something.
Cheese fixins or something.
Yes, because I think basically what that means is square pieces of cheese that go just in the bread.
Okay.
Right? So you don't have to do anything. It's like perfect laziness. And then a big family-sized bag of Funyuns.
Mm,
look, I wrote this script, I'll be honest with you, and I can remember every word.
Nicola's literally seen every episode at least like 50 times. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. I've been with her, what, 12 years nearly now?
Yeah, 2011, 11 and a half,
so 11 and a half, and I reckon you've watched the series through at least 3 times a year.
Oh, and the rest. Yeah. I can't even add it up.
Nicola is an absolute super
fan.
And
I surf through. I just, you know, I feel like a bit of this and feel like a bit of that.
Yeah. I'd love for you guys to send in some questions to try and stump Nicola. That'd be a bit of fun. Bit of
really tricky trivia.
Really tricky trivia, yeah. So friendsmailbag@gmail.com.
And I love a challenge me, and I don't like to be wrong. So
she does not like.
No,
to be wrong.
I'm quite a fan of competition. When I win,
Nicola literally. That's why I was don't like playing board games. Don't ever.
No, we're good. We're good. We can do it.
Don't ever play Monopoly with Nicola.
Why? We haven't played Monopoly. Come on, we've never played Monopoly.
The marriage was on the brink last time we played Monopoly.
What are you talking about? Are you making shit up?
Of course I am.
Oh. See how he riles me. I'm the boss now, baby. Knock it off.
What is it with you on this holiday?
All right, I'm 9 years old.
Oh, hate this story.
We've just finished this magnificent Thanksgiving dinner. I have, and I remember this part vividly, a mouthful of pumpkin pie. And this is the moment my parents choose to tell me they're getting divorced.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. Very difficult to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner once you've seen it in reverse.
But it's funny because in future episodes, they're all like, tell it again. It's not Thanksgiving without the story.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they do come to love the story. Yeah. Chandler's bumming out, you know.
So his parents got divorced during dinner. It's hard to
They didn't get divorced during dinner. They didn't sign
the
paperwork.
Now, sorry, yeah.
Where's the lawyers? What's it called? The decree finale, whatever it's called.
So it's hard to enjoy your food when you're seeing it in reverse. Then Joey is at the subway. He's waiting for the subway. And the woman there. She's kind of uncomfortable, like, talking to him at first.
Yeah, like, well, she's like, this guy reckons he used to work with me and I don't know who the hell he is.
He's a bit of a creep, yeah. But then he lays his smooth moves down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she says she's not wearing any knickers.
No, she's not wearing any perfume.
No, she's implying knickers.
She's not.
What are
she's
you wearing?
Implying, she's clearly clothed. She's wearing nothing and she's clothed.
Talking,
she's talking
what are you wearing?
About perfume.
Nothing. That's meant to be, that's meant to be knickers.
It's sensual and sexual, but it's about perfume. You've got a dirty mind.
How is her saying that she's not wearing anything meant to be sexy?
He says, you smell nice. And she's like, I'm not wearing any perfume. That's just how my body smells.
I'm telling you, from a guy's perspective, she means knickers.
Well, I'm the, you know, the girl said it and I'm a girl and I reckon that she meant no perfume and that you are a dirty person.
Well, you're a married mother now. You never go Nicholas anymore, do you?
No, I prefer Nicola, not Nicholas. I'm hilarious, me, just so you know, laying it on.
He asks her to go get a drink and she's all for it until she sees something behind him. He turns around, he sees the sign because I have to do something. What? Leave.
Yeah.
And we get the VD sign.
At least she was honest.
What Mario isn't telling you. Then we get the don't stand so close to me montage. Everyone just looking at him at Central Perk and we get the little clip at Central Perk, how laughter can be infectious with Phoebe there.
Yeah, that was
funny. More montage and he arrives home and he says, well, Thanksgiving, I'm having it here because my entire family think I have VD.
Mm.
And then we get tonight on a very special Blossom. So did you want to elaborate on Blossom? You said you had-
Oh, no. I just didn't know what it was, so I Googled it. It's some kind of teen education show or something.
It was an education show, wasn't
it? Or something. It sounds like Blossom deals with the tough issues like, you know, smoking marijuana and-
I thought it was kind of like a Seventh Heaven. You know, Seventh Heaven, where it's just like wholesome-
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, no, the show Seventh Heaven.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. With Blossom, it was kind of like one of those shows where it's like, today's lesson is don't lie to your parents. It's
right,
like,
exactly. So, but then they're saying on a very special Blossom, this one was about STIs.
But the joke for that is just like when they're dealing with an issue like that, they always say- Tonight, on a very special Different Strokes. They used to say that at the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
When it's like a real serious issue. It's like, tonight, on a very different or a very special episode of blah, blah, blah. I remember when it was an episode of Different
Strokes. 60 minutes.
I remember it was an episode of Different Strokes, which was two African-American boys, living with a white guy who like adopted them.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with a pedophile. In the episode.
Shivers.
And the pedophile like shows him some like porn video or something. And it was like a cartoon. And I don't know what it was, but he's like, that rabbit ain't wearing no pants. And like that, but like the way this little kid says it, it's like so funny, but it's like, it's not good because basically he lures them in by buying them a new bike and stuff. So it's all about a pedophile. God. But it was like, tonight on a very special Different Strokes. I always remember that. That rabbit ain't wearing no pants. It might not have been rabbit. It was something like, ain't wearing no pants. It was just, it used to get me as
that
a kid.
That man ain't wearing no pants.
Like, I don't know. I'll look it up after this, but it used to kill me. I used to love it. It was just, the delivery of that was just hilarious. Anyway,
it's like that, by the way, is also like that Wife's Op episode. That little egg come in here. She tell me I can't have my bacon. She's dreaming. Yeah. She need to get out of here. Put her little high heels on. Yeah,
she walk in here with little high heels.
So, I'm leaving. I'm packing my suitcase and I'm waddling out of here.
It's the greatest.
It's like, what have you got in your case? I got some orange juice, some bacon, and my pajamas. Whatever. It's just like 8-year-old, 9-year-old kids.
Yeah, just look up. It's like, yeah, Wife Swap, naughty kid, basically, and you'll find it. But yeah, so Blossom is an American sitcom that aired for 5 seasons. It's about a teenager living with her father and 2 older brothers. It's the, you know, The Big Bang Theory.
I know who it is, actually. I did look that
Sheldon's
up.
Sheldon's girlfriend.
What's her name? Devieta, or what's her name?
Mayim, or is that a name?
Oh, it's got letters in it. I don't know how to say. I mean, I don't know how to say most letters. What I mean is together in that sequence.
No, yeah,
what's her name?
Chaya Bialik. Yeah, I always know as Mayim. That's her name, yeah.
Mayim?
M-A-Y-I-M. Mayim? That's
her. Well, are you making that up, though?
No, that's her right there.
No, but you just said her name was something else.
No, Mayim Bialik.
Oh, you said something.
Her middle name is Chaya.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway, enough about Blossom, shall we? Getting back to fucking Friends. So we had the Don't Stand So Close to Me parody. Now it's time for the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And Monica is happy with how the food's going. I've just got, this is Nicola. It's like, get out of her kitchen. Just let her cook her food. Yeah. And you're always so pumped when everything seems to be going. But it always ends up, there's always an issue of some kind.
There is never an issue. I don't know what you mean.
I'm not saying you don't cook it right, but it's, you know, someone's done something to interfere with the Yorkshire puddings. Or they've done something. It's like, by the end, when you're cooking for everybody, you end up stressed like Monica. Not to the level of Monica in this episode.
It's all the timing comes together at the end, you see.
Yeah, and you're just like, everyone just get out of the kitchen. Just don't talk
to me. Well, it's not that. It's just that, like, Brendan's family arriving Christmas Day and everyone was like bringing me stuff and want to use my oven. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You're supposed to bring things hot and put it over there on the buffet table.
What?
I don't know. It's just not the same without Mom in the kitchen.
Oh, all right, that's it. You know what? Just get out of my way and stop annoying me.
Well, that's closer.
Rachel then says she's leaving in 5 hours. She's ready to go. She's very excited.
Shoop, shoop, shoop.
Yeah. And Chandler wants to keep a safe distance from all this merriment. He's pretty pretty depressive character at this point, Chandler. He seems like someone who's, and this might seem like a stretch too far, but like not suicidal, but like hates himself a lot.
Well, he doesn't look miserable on his face, though. I'm staying away from the merriment. It's just that sarcastic, like.
But it's like, they always say a comedian hides their inner self-hate with comedy. And that's kind of like what Chandler is in this. And that I did read somewhere where Chandler was maybe meant to be gay. They were considering making Chandler the character gay at the start. Like, it's almost like they wanted to keep him as like a character who was inside. Like, I don't know whether they're going to have him out like as an out gay, whether he was a closet gay, but it's almost like he isn't confident with himself, even though he tries to portray that with his quips.
Yeah, well, he's not. And like in later episodes, you know, we talk about how, there's just some fun. I won't, no spoilers, but, you know, just, yeah, funny things where it comes across. Yeah, he wishes he was better with women. And so, you know, he definitely does have that desire and he's lacking.
Yes. Phoebe then taunts
The words aren't working anymore.
Phoebe then taunts him with the pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
We all laugh when you did it with the stuffing, but not now. I just really enjoyed Phoebe. Just, this is me. I'd be like, just get the fuck over it. Come on. Joey then wonders why there's no tater tots.
Who the fuck has tater tots on a bloody roast dinner, by the way?
Which
tater
are
tots are like
oven. Potato gems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I forgot what we call them, croquette potatoes.
Every family has their own thing.
Well, yeah, but this is silly. This is a frozen oven thing, frozen oven meal thing. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Roast dinner is supposed to be cooked from scratch.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the end of my story.
It's supposed to be, and that's that.
You peel your spuds and you steam them and then you whip them or you mash them or you have your lumps or you do whatever. But you don't get a bag of frozen potato croquettes out the bloody freezer.
Ross and Joey, though, are very happy they're going to get the potatoes how they want them. So then he says he's off to talk to his unborn child. Phoebe then mashes the potatoes with the beater, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And it seems very efficient, but now there's no lumps. She's ruined everything. Now Monica's all annoyed. I thought we could add the peas and peas and onions.
Yeah,
peas and onions later. That's how my mum used to do it. I would be furious if I was Monica in this situation.
Yeah. So someone's just come in and like sabotage the spuds.
Yeah. So I'm gonna. But it's just like
I'd be pretty fucking mad too.
I remember like it's
because they're all doing it to their own selfish end. Because Phoebe is like, oh, whoops! Like she bloody knew. Like the look on her face, she knew.
But Monica concedes to make three different types of potatoes, and they're all happy with themselves now. Rachel's packed, and she's about to leave. Then Chandler says, underdog balloon has gotten away. Yes, the cartoon character, as opposed to the superhero. And then they all go to the roof, including Rachel. She doesn't want to be late, but she says she'll just have a quick look. And they walk out.
I'm going to the roof. Who's with me?
Well, I can't. I gotta go.
Oh, come on. An 80-foot inflatable dog loose over the city? How often does that happen?
Almost never. Got the keys? Oh, okay.
I didn't think at that point that, oh, shit. They've left the door locked. I just assumed that someone had the key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't make it obvious, did they, the time when, Monica was, got the keys. It kind of wasn't the keys or keys. It was kind of keys.
I mean, but the way she said it, though, I'm just like, you're asking. The way she delivered it.
Do you reckon?
I was just like, got the keys?
She's kind of, got the keys?
If I said, got the keys, I would say, I've got the keys. I wouldn't say, got the keys.
Yeah, because you wouldn't normally even state it, though, would you? You'd be like, have you got the keys? Because, you'd be asking me, and I'd be like, yes or no.
Mm.
You'd be like, hold on, I'll grab them, or yes, I have them right here.
I would just grab them, the keys.
Well, you know, but what I'm saying is if I didn't have them, you would get them, or I would then say, no, I'll get them in a second. But you wouldn't state, for the record, I have the keys, you know?
But you English do like to announce when you're about to do something.
Yes, mostly getting in the pool on holiday. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Michael McIntyre.
I'm going in.
I'll never forget when I watched it for the first time. I was like, they fucking do. I was like, they actually do. You've nailed that, mate.
I don't know why. I'm ready for a running commentary.
I remember at Portugal, every one of you. I'm hopping in. I'm getting in.
I'm doing it.
Carol's waiting for Ross to talk to the baby. He doesn't really know what to do. She says, well, where should I do it? Because one way seems to offer an acoustical advantage. he says, he thinks it's just too weird. You don't have to do it because Susan does it.
Immediately that's it. Yeah, I mean, like I said, that pathetic jealousy.
Phoebe then says that they've shut the balloon down. She's sad about that. And Monica's excited for the food.
You didn't have to shoot it, guys. I thought it was quite funny.
She's very excited for the food. And then they realize that no one's got the keys. Mm. Yeah, the discussion about the keys here.
But they're not. Nobody's taking responsibility for themselves. Is the point?
No.
Always on Monica.
Yes, exactly. And then Joey says that he's got the keys, and they all yell at him. No, that tone won't make me go any faster.
I did write that. I thought it was very funny.
I did like the
yeah, that one will. Yeah.
I did like the key drawer though, because everyone's got their drawer.
Yeah,
shit.
The junk drawer.
Yeah, the junk drawer. Ross is now waffling onto the baby, and then Susan arrives as he's singing the Monkees theme song, and it kicks for the first time, and then. I like here when Susan goes to reach, he slaps her hand first.
Yeah, no.
sort of like a little.
And she's kind of playful, just like trying to get him back on the head. But yeah, she was quite forgiving in that moment. And instead of pushing his hand away, she just found another spot. So I thought, oh, that was quite soft and sweet. Yeah.
And they all bond over it. I just thought it was a very nice moment. Ross seems to have the nice moments so far in the series. The sweet moments seem to be going to Ross. Like last week, he had it with, was last week the grandmother episode? With grandma in the closet and things like that. He seems to be the character that is there to help the show be relatable on an emotional perspective to the audience, I feel. Mm-hmm. Ross is. He's a more emotional character,
but he's all, because he also overreacts the other end too, like the jealousy and stuff, he runs away with it.
I've just got when it comes to the guys, Joey's the goofball. Chandler is the one-liners. He's like the Just Jack character.
Yeah, and
the show.
He's not really admitting that it feels a lot right now. Yeah.
And Ross is the one that you go, oh yeah, I can relate to this guy. Joey and Chandler, they're going through the keys, but they're taking a very long time. Everyone's just fighting over who had, over the keys, because everything is my responsibility. And I'm like, yeah, she has every right to be pissed off at this point. Yeah. Like, she's been doing everything for everybody. Does anyone care how I want the potatoes?
Nobody asked Monica. No. Yep.
And she breaks down. I think she like squeals like only dogs can. Only dogs can hear you now. The apartment is now full of smoke. The turkey is burned. Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined. Potatoes are ruined.
Like three kinds of potatoes. Yes. All ruined.
Ross then enters. This doesn't smell like mum's. Like, whoa, you're in trouble, buddy.
I know. It's like I've written here too. Like the annoying brother. Like, God, not just brother, any sibling. Just walking in, stating the obvious. Like, back off, mate. You are nowhere to be seen when anything needed doing. You didn't help anybody get in here. And now you rock up and you're whinging about your potatoes. You can take a hike.
To his credit, though, he didn't really know what was going on. He was innocent. He was just like, but still, yeah. You want lumps? You've got one.
Yeah, I did like that. Yeah. You've got one.
Yeah. Rachel's plane is now gone. She's missed it. And then they're all sort of squabbling. This was nobody's first choice. And then Monica obviously deserves to be angry.
Yeah, like I just probably spent $120 on all this food and I'm cooking it for you.
Slaving over the stove and you guys are carrying on. You know, this wasn't your first choice.
If you guys dare to ever say that to me, if you and my children ever say to me that this was not your first choice for Christmas dinner and I've slaved away, you're dead.
Okay, you've heard it here first, guys. If Nicola has a new co-host on the first week of next year, you know what I said on Christmas morning.
Oh, God, this is great. The plane is gone, so I guess I'm stuck here with you guys.
Hey, we all had better plans, okay? This was nobody's first choice.
Oh, really? So why was I busting my ass to make this delicious Thanksgiving dinner?
You call that delicious?
No, it's been quite a year. Stop it.
Now this feels like Thanksgiving.
A little bit later, everyone's sort of quiet. They know. It's like someone wants to apologize. I don't know who's going to apologize first. And then they break the ice with the ugly naked guy.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
Break the ice of the ugly naked guy talking, taking the turkey out of the oven with ugly naked gal.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy for him. Oh, it's nice that he has someone. And we go, okay, guys, here we go. Anyway, it's I can see what they're trying to do here. It's like a little in your face,
instead of like the awkward, you know, I'm sorry for shouting at you, which is what I do when I shout at Brenton.
Yeah, about 50, I can tell when Nicola's about to apologize to me too. I'm like, all right, here we go. This is
it. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, here we go.
You revel in it, do you?
Chandler begins cutting up the cheese sandwiches. He's made grilled cheese sandwiches for everybody. And Phoebe says, make a wish. And Joey gets the bigger half. What'd you wish for? For the bigger half.
Yeah.
Little toast here. I know this isn't exactly the kind of Thanksgiving that all of you planned, but for me, this has been really great, you know? I think because it didn't involve divorce or projectile vomiting. Anyway, I was just thinking, I mean, if you'd gone to Vail, or if you guys had been with your family, or if you didn't have syphilis and stuff, we wouldn't be all together, you know? So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm very thankful that all of your Thanksgivings sucked.
That's so sweet. Really? Thank
you. And hey, here's to a lousy Christmas.
And a crappy New Year.
Here.
I thought it was a very nice episode.
Yeah.
All the squabbling and all the fighting, it still
just felt like family though, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt, as silly as that sounds, it felt like a proper Christmas day or Thanksgiving day. I know we had Thanksgiving here, but it felt like Christmas day. The squabbles and the everyone wanting food a certain way and things like that, just missing the presents. Presents are a key part of Christmas day. Don't forget that, people. Went out the subway station and
We're not religious at all, but bring yourself a present and you're welcome.
I will say though, as a parent, it is great because now I can say to Elliot, be good because Santa's watching. He's like, Santa's watching.
Yeah, I know, but we also would like him to be good the rest of the year as well.
He has been very good.
No, he is good.
Even before that though, he's growing up our little Elliot.
But it's really nice. Actually, even this year, he was just into Halloween for the first time. Mm. And I think this year, and Holly, what did you buy the other day? Some musical dancing toys,
musical Christmas tree,
musical Santa, saxophone playing Santa. And the kids absolutely loved it. And I'm just thinking I could just sort of see, you know, a few weeks from now, Christmas tree up, they're both going to love it. So it's really nice that they're that little bit older getting into it. So I'm really excited for Christmas.
I do feel kind of sad for Elliot on Halloween because we went there a little bit too late. And like most people sort of had run out of lollies. And poor little Elliot's walking over a bucket of like 10 lollies in it.
I mean, it was a huge freaking bucket. You probably overshot the runway.
But he was like, he's walking around. And I was like, it's okay. Like, maybe just, and he goes, that's okay if I don't have much. I'll just come early next year. And I was like, we will do that. I was like, I felt bad for him, but I was like, at least he's seen the bright side of it. It's like, that's okay. We'll just come early next year. Yeah. I was like,
And he did have some plenty of lollies really to go on with.
I just bought him some Skittles and some chocolate fries, chucked them in there for him. Yeah. He loves his Skittles now, doesn't he? Skittles are his favorite. But now at the subway station, Joey is ripping the sign, all the various different diseases, STIs. And finally lands on winner of 3 Tony Awards and he's happy and walks off. But yeah, as I said, a really good, I guess you would call this a holiday episode because it's Thanksgiving. Yeah. But this is one that you could play on Christmas Day as well, I guess. And it still feels Christmassy.
No, there's no tree.
Yeah.
No decorations.
Who are you? Kevin McAllister?
Yeah.
Love your Christmas trees. I don't know. I just thought this was, a really nice sweet episode, regardless of all the squabbling.
Hey, so does that mean the next one's Christmas? No, it can't be. There's another one or two before the Christmas episode.
No, well, the next episode is the one with the monkey.
Ah, yes. And then after that?
I shall tell you in just a moment. It is loading. After that, it is the one with Mrs. Bing. And the one after that is the one with the dozen lasagnas.
Oh.
And the one after that is the one with the boobies. Ooh. Yeah. Can we just skip straight to that one?
No. Maybe they don't do Christmas this year. Maybe there isn't a Christmas
episode.
The one
with the candy hearts? The one with the stoned guy?
No, none of those are Christmas. But so I do know
let's
them
see what the, oh, this aired in February. So they've gone past Christmas. Yeah, the one with two parts, part one.
So when did so Thanksgiving aired in November? Did they just skip?
Let's go. First Christmas episode, Friends. The listeners are out there going, you should know this, Nicola.
Oh, so well,
season 2, episode 9, the one with Phoebe's dad is the first Christmas episode.
Well, I did think, you know, that I do understand, listeners, that Christmas comes after Thanksgiving, and I knew it wasn't there. So
yes. Yeah, tonight on a very special episode of Friends. Series 2, episode 9 is the first Christmas episode.
Hey, we better skip through them so that we can do a Christmas episode at Christmas, right?
Maybe we can do we can pick
let's
a Christmas.
Do a special. Oh, yeah.
Let's pick a Christmas episode for patrons. What do you reckon?
Mm, all deal. Right. Yeah.
So we'll post it in the Patreon group and we'll ask.
And I'll even bring a Bailey so you'll get a half cut, Nicola. What do you reckon?
Oh, that sounds like a good night for Dando. Alrighty, so yes, that will be an exclusive. We'll post in the Patreon group. So what I think we should do is we've got the Four Finger Discount Facebook group exclusive for patrons. We'll make subgroups because you can do that now within the group. So we'll make a Friends one and we'll post it in there. We'll ask which Christmas episode of Friends you'd like us to review as a bonus episode and you can vote on it there. So if you want to support the show and be able to hear Nicola and I skip forward and review a Christmas episode, which we'll put up on Christmas morning so you can listen to it on Christmas day, maybe we'll put up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that might be nice.
Yes.
So people can listen to us going to sleep on Christmas night.
Exactly right. But thank you guys for listening to the show. We do appreciate it. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Check us 5 stars and if you do have a couple of moments, leave some kind words as well. We will read out every review from Apple Podcasts on the show. So if you chuck us some kind words, we will read it out on the following podcast. Also, if you listen to us via Spotify, check us 5 stars as well. All right, this has been our review of which one, Nicola?
It's one of two episodes where the words get away or gets away is used.
Not the monkey one, it's the underdog one.
No, it's the one where underdog gets away.
Yes, and the next episode is
the one where the monkey gets away. No, it's the one with the monkey.
The one with the monkey. What's his name?
Marcel.
Maurice keeps coming to my mind. No, it's not Maurice. I know it's an sound. So Marcel will be making his first appearance on the show in the next episode of The One About Friends. Thank you guys so much for your support. We do appreciate it. We hope you all have a fantastic couple of weeks. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Ciao.